Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're getting set to talk more about the Browns here and the situation, especially with the quarterbacks. And, you know, Dylan Gabriel's got the opportunity of a lifetime now. We'll see what he does with it. But it has been a bizarre start to the season as the Browns start looking for win number two. We are going to be joined here in a second by the man who was the offensive coordinator for the Rams' greatest show on turf. And that franchise won a Super Bowl. Oh, man, they were so good. So much fun to watch. And Mike Martz has joined us plenty of times before. And guess what? He's got a new book coming up, Third and Long. And right now, he is on the fan hotline. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Coach.
Thanks for coming on. First, let me ask you about the book before we get into anything, because I know you're going to give us great stuff when we start talking about the Browns quarterback situation. What's up with your book? How do we get it? And what's the story there?
Some people keep telling me my story is so different, I should write a book. And I said, oh, that's garbage. I'm no different than anybody else. And so I got a guy that I know real well that writes. And so we sat down and started doing this together. And, it's, you know, when you do a biography, it ends up being glorifying your life. And that's not what I wanted to do. So a lot of bumps and bruises. My way through the NFL into it, there was no shortcut, that's for sure. So it's kind of fun to tell a story.
How do you do that? I mean, how many hours do you sit down before you can actually crank out a book?
Yeah.
It seems, especially, let's be honest. I mean, we talk about football and you have great football stuff. But deep down, you come off as a super humble guy.
Well, yeah, thank you. I just, the biggest issue would be he asks the questions. We sit down and he'll record our conversations. And we meet once a week for about 5 hours. And then he'll go back and transcribe it. And we're going chapter to chapter. Then he'll give it back to me. And I'll remember something or scratch something out. He'll go back and figure. We'll go back and forth. And we've probably got 15 to 17 chapters done now. We're about halfway through probably, or a little bit more. I didn't want it to be sanitized. I want to be brutal about it, but also there are some things that you have to protect that are, you know, sensitive relationships with people and all that kind of stuff, some things that happen. but I just want people to get a sense of, there was no shortcuts, working for free and being out of work and food stamps and, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Mike, when's the book coming out?
Hopefully it's going to get out here this spring. Okay. We'd like to have it done here by the first of the year, and then get the right publisher and all that sort of thing. But Jim Thomas, who was the beat writer here for many years, he's a very good friend, and we became close friends. And he's the one that kind of pestered me about it. So I said, well, I'm not doing anything now. Let's go ahead and do this and just see how it ends up. And I did not want to write this in the first person, but he convinced me that's the way it has to be. So, it seems like it's going all right, but we'll see.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that.
I can't wait to see it.
Can't wait to read it.
Well, thank you.
It'll be great. So help us. Over the course of two seasons, we have a football team here who hasn't scored more than 17 points in 11 straight games. What do you do?
I think, the quarterback position has always held that team hostage forever. It's just the way that's been, I talk about the Bears finally getting it right with Williams and all that stuff, and they did. But they were in the same path. Even when I was there, you know, God bless him, he was a good quarterback, but he ultimately wasn't as good as quarterback as that organization needs. And I think they're in the same situation. You know, until they get it right at quarterback, until they find that guy, get him in there, I don't know if it's ever going to change much.
With the low output on offense, we're kind of wondering, all right, what can Kevin do? I know in the past you've told us that you like what he does on offense. He has everybody puzzled in town. They had a first and goal at the 3, and they didn't run the ball at all with Quinshon Judkins. Instead, you had a rookie quarterback out there, and you threw it there. You threw it 52 times. Is Kevin trying too much, Mike, to make this work? Is he trying to be creative? I would think he's in a tough spot, but I'm wondering, is he in such a tough spot he's overthinking this thing?
I don't think so. I think when you make those kinds of calls, first of all, you felt like they should run. Obviously, defense felt that way too. And I felt like when you do those things, when you make those calls, there's a message you're sending your team and the quarterback that you've got faith in him. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you got to do that. I mean, I've done that. And when it fails, it's awful. When it's successful, it's a good call because sure. He's trying to get this guy involved and build his confidence and whatnot. And, you know, I'm doing a speaking engagement here tomorrow morning about fear of failure. And one of the things that happened when I was at the Redskins, we're 0-7. Gus Frotz, our quarterback, Hostetler's a backup, and we got Trent Green's the third quarterback. Norv and I felt he was the best. We're 0-7. We benched those guys. We go with Trent. We went 6 out of the last 9, and the 3 we lost were at the last minute, and the rest is kind of history. And it turned the whole dynamic of that team. All of a sudden, it looked like a team that wasn't any good to a real good team, and they went on to go into the playoffs the next year, and they lost the last play against Tampa, actually, in the playoffs. But the point is, it's just that one guy. You know, the energy that he brings, his personality, the confidence that it exudes, it changes the staff as well, the coaching staff. It's the whole organization. It's when people say it's the most important position in football, it's an understatement. You know, it really is. Because when you get it right, there's nothing like it. You can build around it, and you can have it for many years. And when you don't have it and you haven't had it, it's miserable.
When you see a rookie play quarterback, what do you watch? What are you looking for to know that they're getting better every week?
Yeah. I look how quick he gets the ball out and how decisive he is and how accurate he is. And if he's getting the ball out quick and he's accurate, that means he's spent a lot of time in his preparation and he has it. He gets it. This stuff with young players, sometimes it takes them 4 or 5 years. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he sat for 3 years before he got his chance, but he prepared. And the whole time, you got to be preparing yourself and going through this stuff. We had quarterbacks in practice would stand 15 yards back behind the quarterback and drop when he drops and mimic, you know, everything. You know, and I didn't tell them to do that. It's just what they wanted to do. Cause they're trying to get better. They're trying to get into that, you know. And preparation for quarterbacks isn't everything. It's all inclusive. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And if you're not sure, if you don't know exactly what's going on, if you don't know how to handle situations, balls, you're late with it, you're indecisive, and that's order number one. And that's why I look for young players, to see how quick they are with it, how decisive they are with it, and how they protect the ball.
Mike, we have two rookie quarterbacks here. You know, when they started this thing, you had Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. Both have been traded. You have Dylan Gabriel, who's the first guy up. You have Shedeur Sanders waiting. If you're Kevin Stefanski, if you're any NFL head coach, how do you juggle two rookie quarterbacks?
Well, you don't. You don't. You don't worry about number two. You know, if his time comes and something happens, then you get him ready to play. But you can't juggle two quarterbacks, period. You know, I don't care whether they're vets or rookies. You just can't do it. You prepare one, you're all in on that guy and get him ready to play. That's your decision. If you start juggling two guys, what does that do to the guy that you're trying to start? You know, that's a blow to him. Now he's looking over his shoulder. That's the last thing in the world you want a rookie quarterback to do, is look over his shoulder. You know, when Kurt started his first game, you know, after Trent went down, the first regular season game was against Baltimore. And in 7-on-7, his first 11 passes were in the dirt. He didn't hit anybody. Marshall stops. Hey, coach, can we start the drill over? I said, sure. He said, look, here's the deal. In front of all the players, he said, you're a quarterback, whether we win or lose, or you throw interceptions, it doesn't make any difference. You're our guy. We know how good you can be. Just go play. We got your back. And it just lifted up, and the ball didn't touch the ground after that.
Wow.
And so you have to have, you got to be all in your guy. You can't all of a sudden say, well, we think you're good, just start, but just in case we're going to get this guy ready. You can do that on the side, but don't make an issue with it.
Wait, what did you think of the fact that they traded within the division to send Joe Flacco to Cincinnati? There's a part of me that says, you know what, if the Browns weren't going to start him, they probably wanted to send him to a place where he could start. Unfortunately, Cincinnati, you know, we all heard what Mike Tomlin said yesterday. What did you think when they went into this thing with two experienced quarterbacks and now they have none, and then they trade Flacco to Cincinnati? What did you think there?
I was a little surprised by it, unless they just felt like he just can't do it anymore. You know, then if you send it to division, if you're convinced he can't do it when you play him, he's going to prove he can't do it. You know, so. That's the only thing I could think of. They just have probably were spent on him, you know, just didn't feel like they felt like it was time to go with the youngster and get him ready to play. It's the only reason I can think of. And I don't know if Joe's done or not. He may be, he may not be. I didn't see him play, so I really don't know. But I think at some point, you know, the guy that's 42 years old, you have to make a decision when you got a young guy that you've drafted, you know, this, you know, where they are. You got to go all in the young guy and just get him ready to play. And being in the same division or not, you know, he's trying to help the guy because you know it's a loyalty issue. He's got, you know him well enough to certainly. There's an advantage for you too defensively.
Mike Martz joining us, former head coach of the Rams, longtime NFL offensive coordinator. Mike, I don't know if you've had a good look at Dillon Gabriel either in the pros or in college. If you have your thoughts, how do you coach up a quarterback who's not exactly a statue back there at 6'4", 6'5"? Instead, you have a shorter quarterback.
Well, I haven't seen him play yet. I caught snippets of him, and I would never comment on that. I think you have to be very specific with young players about where the ball's got to go in each play. And you have to be very, very good with your game plan in terms of creating things for him. So he doesn't have to decipher things, you know, go through a lot of mental gymnastics, so to speak, protect him with conservative protections, hard play actions, you know, et cetera, and give him the best opportunity for success. You know, early in the game, get him some throws right away where he's feeling pretty good about it, you know. I always felt that was really important with young quarterbacks to come out and get the ball in the flat or a slant or something where, you know, he gets the jitters out and he gets kind of into the game. And he can manage that pretty good. You have to be real careful with the protections. You can't necessarily go back and do all the things you'd like to do, but you got to do the things that you observed of him that he can do and help you win.
Is there a challenge to having a quarterback who's under 6 foot? I mean, does it change the way you coach? And lefty,
no.
Too. I mean, there's another thing. Do you run different play? I mean, I'm just trying to think of, you know, is there a coaching philosophy there?
Yeah. No, I tell you, I know what you're getting at. Here's Drew Brees would be the first guy to come to mind.
Sure.
But here's the thing with that. Their quarterbacks naturally will feel rush lanes and get the ball there instead of trying to throw over defensive linemen. And most of them are just not conscious of it. That's what you call pocket movement. You know, when you have to throw the ball in timing where it's between pass rushers and not trying to just throw it right over their helmet. Now, sometimes it happens. And you either feel that or you don't feel that. I've seen guys that were 6'4", 6'5", continually get balls batted down. And yet, you look at Drew Brees, he never got balls batted down.
It's
because,
true.
And Kurt was the same way. Kurt had this uncanny ability. He'd throw sidearm. Now, there's a slant he throws in the Super Bowl against Tennessee. When you look at the end zone copy, you can see him, his arm and his helmet. You can see the pass rusher, Torrey run the slant route, and the ball comes out almost 5 feet or 4 feet off the ground, sidearm between the rush lanes. And he doesn't even see the receiver. He knows where he's supposed to be. He just flicks it in there. And had he thrown it right over the defensive line, it clearly would have been batted down. And that's just something guys feel or they don't feel. And that's what's imperative about short guys is they've got to be able to have that feeling of anticipation and getting balls naturally through rush lanes where you're not getting things batted down all the time. That's the only thing that you have to be concerned about short guys.
Coach, as always, we are smarter when we listen to you and what you have to say, and we always appreciate your time.
Look forward to the book.
Oh, thank you. Love talking to you guys. Good luck.
Sports Talk here on 92.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Daryl Ryder joined us at 10:20 today. Mary Kay Cabot at 11 straight up. And then Coach Mike Martz just joined us. Greatest show on turf. He's got a new book coming out here very soon that he's writing. He told us a little bit about that. Jeff's got his college roundup coming up. We'll do a little NFL rapid fire too, coming up a little bit later in the show. What'd you get out of our conversation with Mike Martz?
Numerous things.
Yeah, the one thing that we talked about in the break too was his theory on trying to develop two quarterbacks at once.
Can't do it.
No, you just can't do it.
And you know what? He's right, Andy. See, we've had folks call the show and scream about this. Well, they're not giving him reps in practice. They're not giving him reps in practice, and meaning Shadur in this case. The thought of it is this, and I don't know that a lot of folks grasp this. Backup quarterbacks don't get reps. When you're in the season, you're getting your starter ready to go. And that's where your time investment is when it comes to getting a guy ready to play, especially when that guy's a rookie. So right now, whether everybody likes it or not, Dillon Gabriel is the guy who's getting the opportunity. And if for whatever reason that changes, well, then Shadur will be the guy who gets that opportunity. But right now it's Dillon Gabriel. And so he's going to get every chance.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
To succeed as he should.
So I was just thinking about Martz's offenses. Obviously, had Kurt Warner, he had Mark Bulger,
Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk.
Yeah,
he had some skill position talent.
And so I keep thinking about this, averaging less than 20 points per game. In his first two seasons, they only had three games where they had less than 20 points a game. In his first two seasons, in three out of his first four seasons, they only had five games where they scored 20 or less points.
See, and we've talked to him about this before. Think about who his quarterbacks were. He didn't have the number one overall pick type guy. He had Kurt Warner, who was stocking shelves in a grocery store and playing for the Iowa Barnstormers.
Yeah.
He had Mark Bulger, who was not a first-round pick, I think out of West Virginia, and became a real viable NFL quarterback.
What was the thing he loved about him? He just said it because he just got rid of the ball so quick.
Yeah.
That was the thing about Bulger, that he was accurate and he got rid of the ball really, really quick.
You've got to coach him up, to use the Butch Davis phrase. You got to coach him up, and that's what the Browns have to do with Dillon. I thought it was interesting, and Mike could tell by the way I asked him, running the ball on first and goal from the three, and he said, you think, a lot of folks think you should run the ball there. He said, I get it. But he said, you're showing confidence in your guy, your quarterback. And if they would have scored on that, okay, big confidence boost for Dillon and everything else. And you're showing confidence in your guy. I get that. I do. I personally don't think it was the right thing at the time.
Sure.
But I do understand.
But you don't
what Mike's
look at it that
there.
Way. Like we don't. I don't see that that way. I, you know, I see it the same way you did. I'm like, yeah. How many yards do you have to get?
Three.
Yeah. So just
and you got a hammer in the backfield, and you got four downs to try and get it done.
But I can understand that from what he's telling us is he's looking at big picture, and maybe that's what Kevin was looking at. It's still hard to swallow, and I know a lot of fans are still sitting around here going, man, if he's not on the hot seat now, I don't know what coach wouldn't be on the hot seat, especially when, you know, Brian Callahan, I mean, he got fired after, what, a year and a half?
Year and a half.
And you tell me they don't have, you know, wheel of regret feelings about Mike Vrabel, who's doing a good job turning things around in New England now?
I don't know that they are. You moved on from him.
Can
we add a little context, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
The group that's there did not hire Brian Callahan. So it's a lot easier when you have a new GM to walk up to your owner and go, we inherited this guy, and he's not doing it.
Yeah, but the owner's still got to cut checks for a guy who's not going
to
be there.
That's true, but it's easier to justify it when it's like, this guy doesn't fulfill our vision.
It's also kind of easier to do it at the end of the season, isn't it?
Well, not if you have a number one overall pick in the draft and you think that you're wasting developmental time.
All right. You know, I can see that. Mel is in Cleveland. Hi, Mel.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. Hi, what's going on?
Yeah, I can see why Mike Marsh coached one of the greatest offenses in the history of the NFL. Listening to him, you know, I can tell why he was offensive coordinator and head coach of that team.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We need to find if we don't ever find the quarterback, we don't get the right guy in there behind center, we're going to have seasons like this for the coming future. I mean, it's never going to get better. You have to get the guy in there. You got to get the right quarterback so you can build around him. If you don't, there's no purpose. This is more essential even today, more essential today, because the quarterback position, the game has – cater to it. It's you got to have great quarterback play to win now. And the Browns, we're just so far from it. I don't know if Dillon Gabriel is that person, Jadeer Sanders, or we got to go in the draft, but we got to find that guy. And we do have to find a good coach, head coach, general manager that can put that together and develop that quarterback. I don't know if Kevin Stefanski can do that. I don't know if Andrew Berry can do his job. Like they haven't been successful doing it since they've been there. So I don't know. You know, what do you guys think?
Well, thank you, Mel. Appreciate it. I mean, this is the great question that we've been asking since 1999.
Yeah, you know the thing about
he's right. If you don't have the quarterback, you don't. Now the question is, where does that quarterback come from? Is it? I mean, Kurt Warner's story, as everybody knows, is unbelievably remarkable. You know, stocking shelves, quarterback. Super Bowl. Insane. I mean, but and is that
he was a guy trying to find it. That's why it was, you know, he was with Green Bay for a while. He never played, but he was in Green Bay's camp and playing in the arena leagues and everything else, and he was just trying to get his opportunity.
And never quit,
which is, you know, good for him. But I think this, and I know everybody's down on Kevin right now. Understandable. And you've scored 17 or fewer points in 11 straight games. I don't think he's been given a whole lot of talent to work with last year or this. And you can make the argument, and I have, that when he's had some skill position talent on this team, that they did a pretty good job. And they did. And, you know, if they give him some talent and it doesn't work, well, then there's your answer, right? You know what to do. You know what happens. Coaches don't last. I think in the past when he's had some skill position talent that we consider pretty decent, he's done a pretty good job as a head coach. And right now, Andy, this is a bad situation. There's just not enough talent. There's not enough talent at quarterback. There might be, but it's young, and you know, young talent gets coaches fired. And there's just not enough talent at wide receiver. Period. I do think there's running back talent, but let's be truthful here. There's one guy at running back that we like.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you're sitting there looking at Detroit with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. It's not like that. You know, you've got one guy, They were so crazy about Jerome Ford, they drafted two running backs and gave Jerome a pay cut. So I think you have one guy. Dylan Sampson isn't getting the ball a whole lot anymore. I'm curious as to what you have there. I think you have two tight ends who can play. And you have an old offensive line that's missing two tackles. Good luck.
The thing about talking to Martz, too, is, you know, I think sometimes we fall into this, hey, if you're going to be a successful quarterback, you've got to be drafted in the first round, right? I think what most people would agree with that.
Well, that's certainly the case in the NFL right now.
Look at those three guys that we talked about that he had.
Yeah.
Trent Green was an eighth rounder. Doesn't even exist anymore. Mark Bulger was a sixth rounder. Kurt Warner, not drafted.
I know. I mean, but see, that's more than getting lucky. That's knowing how to coach a guy, isn't it?
I agree.
I mean, you could get lucky with one. You're not going to get lucky with all three. And he had three guys that they actually thought they could play and that he did play and that they did pretty well with. Mm.
Kevy D, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. What's a good word?
All right. So I think I have an explanation for everything that's happened since the Vikings game. The trade of Joe Flacco, dropping back 60 times, passing three times with goal to go. Once we lost the Vikings game, the analysts decided we were all but out of it for playoffs. And the main objective became gathering data on our quarterbacks. The only way you're getting that data is if they drop back 60 times. The most important data comes in the red zone. So he threw it three times. We were never going to see Judkins come in to run because the last stud running back we had got his knee blown up by the same team in a goal-to-go situation. Maybe we would have seen Ford, but their objective isn't to win anymore. It's to get data on the quarterback.
Kev, I don't know if you heard yesterday. I said the same thing. I said, "What are your marching orders? Is it results or is it information?" And we made the argument yesterday. Maybe it's information at this point. And you just said the same thing.
It was funny. Yeah, I mean, you said exactly what that phone caller just said right there. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Let's take one more. Let's go. Manning is in Cleveland. Hi, Manning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Manning. We're doing good.
Hey, so look, Jeff, you just said that he hasn't had weapons. I'm assuming you're only talking about this year?
Yeah, I said when he has had weapons, I think he's done a good job.
Okay, because that just kind of threw me as far as it goes. But
no, when you're looking this year, I don't think he has the weapons, Manning. But in the past, and I've gone over it, like the 2020 team had Chubb and Jarvis and Odell and Kareem Hunt, and they won 11 games.
Yeah, and
as far as Baker.
AB goes, so this draft was a good draft. Did he do this draft? Were the other drafts not his draft? Was he being told, did they change talent evaluators? What happened? Because something had to happen.
Well, I mean,
we can all be in agreement on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had a pick in the first round. I mean, you got to. I know it's a big picture thing, and Jeff says this all the time. You've got to make hay with third through seventh rounders at some point, right? But if you take those first round picks away from any general manager, and you want to go back and start looking at the big picture, I think it's a difficult puzzle to put together.
Well, let me throw this at you, Manning and Andy.
Yeah.
You like Harold Fannin a lot,
yeah,
right?
I do like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Harold wasn't a first round pick.
No.
He found him a little later. Why hasn't he found guys in the previous five drafts?
Exactly.
Fair enough.
That's where I'm at.
Yep.
All right, let's go back. Let's do a little bit more. Again, a lot of phone calls here on what's going on with the Browns at this time and juncture, but Jeff also wants to give us a little quarterback roundup. Woo-hoo! Can't wait.
You do want to wait. It's not going real well.
Thanks for setting me down. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Okay, well, there's a game we like to play on this show, but you don't like the "we got to find us a quarterback" game.
Well, no, we did that. That was last year.
Yeah, why can't it be again this year?
This is a different type of
thing. But I like things that are just predictable sometimes. Like the Browns offense, less than 20 points a game.
That included free agents and everything else.
Okay.
Now we had four quarterbacks. Now we're down to, well,
three,
four.
Four. Yeah.
We
four.
Had seven. Now we're down to four.
How many are still being paid? Eight. How many quarterbacks are on the Browns payroll? Eight. All right, Jeff. So this is your shining moment. This is something this I is look it? Forward to. Oh, I love this segment. I love it. I love it. Love wow. it. Love it. I can't. I'm looking forward
really
to hearing.
Something to hang my hat on.
Well, especially when we're calling it a college quarterback roundup now. Is it a roundup? Is that cool?
Fine. I don't care.
All right. Giddy up. Here comes the roundup.
You know, I check out this website that I think is interesting. It's called NFLDraftBuzz.com.
I thought you were going down a different road, but good. I'm glad that's where it is. So.
And this tells you, you know, as soon as they made the trade down from two, go to five, take Mason Graham, get a number one for next year. Boom, you're drafting a quarterback next year. It's supposed to be a great quarterback class.
Yeah.
NFL Draft Buzz, most recent headline on their website. This is from Friday, October 10th, okay, before the guys played on Saturday.
Okay.
It says Arch Manning's reality check.
Yeah, that's
true. Penn State's collapse, and that was before they lost again and threw Aller out for the year.
Yeah.
And the NFL draft stock market crash.
Oh, great.
Is this thing falling apart before the Browns even get into it? That's what you're kind of wondering here. So here's the deal. We go over the guys who are really the most highly thought of quarterbacks. Just give a little update on how they did this last week.
Okay.
Right? Guy I like a ton, Lenora Sellers from South Carolina, lost 20-10 at LSU and wasn't great. 15 of 27 for 124. No touchdowns, threw an interception.
Everybody's going to be bad against that LSU defense. That LSU defense is probably the second best defense in the country.
Still go watch tape of this guy. Man, he's intriguing. Lenora Sellers, South Carolina. He's still the guy I like a lot. In that game, he went up against Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. Mm-hmm. And so he obviously gets the win. Nussmeier was better. 20 of 33, 254, two touchdowns, also two interceptions in that game. The guy who you keep thinking, is this guy legit? Is this guy a real candidate? Could this guy possibly be the man? Fernando Mendoza from Indiana.
Big win.
Yeah.
The biggest win in the history of the program.
I think it was. Takes his Hoosier team to Oregon, and they beat the Ducks. First road win ever for Indiana against a top five ranked team.
The only thing that went wrong for him, that he had that one pick six.
It was 30-20, and he was 20 of 31 for 215, a touchdown, and the interception, Andy. So that wasn't...
Could you see Mendoza playing here next year?
No.
He reminds me of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Every time I watch him, I see Kirk Cousins.
Every time I see him, I think this. Yeah, he could be a competent NFL quarterback, and I don't think anything more than that. But that's not bad.
No, gosh, no.
I mean, how long has it been since we've had a competent NFL quarterback? But every time I think of him, I think of that. The new hot guy that everybody got all hot in a biscuit for, Dante Moore from Oregon, who was Dylan's backup last year and transferred out there to Oregon. So he lost to Indiana. He was 21 of 34, 186, a touchdown, two interceptions. I don't think he looked great. It was a good game, competitive game. It's nice to see competitive games in college football again.
It was a great game to watch. Like, I was looking forward to that more than Ohio State's game that was on before.
The college football playoff system and the Big Ten expanding to 74 teams has changed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Arch Manning, still hanging out around there. Will he come out? Will he not? Who knows? He won in the, what is it called, the Red River game? Against Oklahoma.
Rivalry.
Yeah, it used to be the shootout. Yeah,
was good. 21 of 27, 166, one touchdown, no interceptions, and made Oklahoma fans mad at the end of the game. Also in that game, John Mateer, who Andy likes.
Yeah.
He's fond of shorter quarterbacks from Oklahoma. John went back and played. And remember, this dude had hand surgery on September 24th.
It's a gamer.
And he was supposed to be out 3 to 4 weeks.
He's 6'1", by the way.
Well, he was 20. They lost 23-6, as I said. He was 20 of 38, 202, no touchdowns, three interceptions, five sacks.
With a broken hand. Impressive.
Well, it's a surgically repaired hand.
I'll call it
broken. On one hand, you think, hey, tough. On the other hand, you think, hey, not real bright. NFL draft future. Whatever way you want to look at it, he had a tough game against Texas, and you can't hold that against him. It's his first game back from surgery.
No.
So I'm not.
Intestinal fortitude.
This is the one that makes you want to cry, especially if you're from Medina County. Drew Aller was at the second to last play of the game at Penn State. Not only did he get hurt, he's out for the rest of the season. They've still not said exactly what it is. We can all suspect it is a knee injury. He's out for the season. Penn State's lost three straight games. Drew in that game against Northwestern was 13 of 20 for 137, no touchdowns, one interception, and James Franklin got fired despite the fact they had to write him a check for $49 million. You know you want to fire a guy. You know you want to fire a guy.
You know what I call that?
When you hand him $49 million of walking away money.
I call that halfway to a settlement with the city of Cleveland.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. Which goes back to the email I got earlier. Really, not that much. Andy, I'm afraid this pushes Drew Aller out of the first round.
I think you might be right.
Three straight losses. He was not great in them.
He needed to come back this year because he needed more polish.
Yeah, I read, you know, a couple of points that I thought, oh, that's harsh. I don't know if I can argue. It said they lost, you know, the previous games and Drew had his hand on the ball when the game ended. That's tough. I think the guy can play. I love his size at 6'5", about 240.
Stick him in a room with Mike Martz.
Well, and you know what I think? Want to get a quarterback? There's your Jacksonville pick right there. Later in the first round. Something to think about.
It's going to depend on how many quarterbacks go before him. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's that list going to look like?
Right. I agree with you on that.
His inaccuracy is concerning, though. I mean, that's the one thing. Well, I know.
Here's the question.
He just sprays these throws that you're like, dude, come on. You should have this.
Is it correctable? Especially knowing that his coach just got fired.
Yeah.
Well, goodness, is it
the quarterback or is it the coach? Apparently, they think it's the coach.
Well, they can't really change out the – well, they're changing out the quarterback because the –
well, now they don't have a choice.
Yeah, they have
exactly.
To.
I was hoping this year Drew Aller would come back. They had that receiver from Temple that everybody was pumped about.
Yep.
And you would see cleaner footwork. You'd see all of the things that everybody yelled at Drew Aller about. And it wasn't there. And maybe it's just old habits die hard. But good golly, you needed that dude to step up. And you needed that guy to fix some of the things to move his draft stock. And it's just not there. So well, I wonder if it's just okay.
Don't you think the draft stock is plummeted? I mean, poor kid's hurt.
There's rumblings he might be undrafted.
And they've lost three straight games. I think
he'll get drafted. There's way too much raw talent there.
I would think he's at the very least a second-round pick. And that in and of itself is a shame. A couple other guys, Carson Beck at Miami, who's kind of worked his way up the boards. He didn't play this week. Cade Klubnik of Clemson did. He was 22 of 30, 280, a touchdown, a pick, and a big win over Boston College. Sam Levitt of Arizona State didn't play. Nico Iamaliava of UCLA did play pretty good against Michigan State. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. He was 16 of 24 for 180. So what does this ultimately do? I'm going to go back to NFLDraftBuzz.com, their most updated rankings. They still have Lenoris. Well, they now have Lenoris Sellers as the number one pick. They did have Dante Moore last week among quarterbacks. Lenoris Sellers, number one. Again, go look at video of this kid. I think he's really intriguing. They have Dante Moore from Oregon, number two. And then they have Fernando Mendoza at number three. Followed by, real quick, four through whatever, John Mateer, the USC quarterback, Jaden Maeva. Garrett, who we haven't even talked about yet, he's 6'4". He's a big kid. And they, who knows? They say he has great arm talent. Maybe we add him to the list. Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning is now seventh. Ty Simpson at Alabama, Cade Klubnik is ninth, and Carson Beck is 10th. I still think Lenoris Sellers is the guy to draft. And the, by golly, the Browns are on their way to being able to get him with their own pick.
It's true.
If they so choose.
I just kind of looking at the big picture of college football.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure this out. How much farther ahead is Ohio State than Miami? Like, I can't. I watched the Indiana game. If Indiana is number three, Ohio State, I still think, is light years ahead of Indiana right now. Even with the win at Oregon, the way they won that thing, I get it. And I'm trying everything I can do to not be a homer on this. Man, Ohio State's only given up four touchdowns all season long. Julian Sain does everything they need him to do.
I am not an Ohio State Buckeye fan. They're the best team in the country, and it's not close.
I would agree.
They're the best team in the country. It's not even close.
I say it, I wasn't saying it to blow smoke in the beginning of the season. Bo Jackson is the real deal. I said it in the beginning. I've said it since I watched him in track in high school. Man, I mean, and what's crazy is when you watched him in high school here today, or when he was here, and even though he didn't play that much his senior year either, he looked like a man among boys. The same thing that we would say about LeBron when we were watching LeBron. And I see him at Ohio State, and then you see how big all the other guys are around him, and he just kind of blends in. But, man, when you hand 25 the ball, phew, see ya. It's awesome.
That's what you want.
It is so much fun to watch this team.
By the way, how about Matt Patricia?
And I think that's the story. And by the way, do you notice how much he smiles now? I don't think I ever saw him smile like that in the NFL.
You know why? He was able to get that pencil removed from his skull.
Maybe that's
true. It's been there forever.
And they were banged up last week. I think they were missing four starters in last week's game, something like that. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. When we come back, let's get through all the headlines in the NFL. It is rapid fire.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.